Hello and welcome to the 20th Manx Footy Pod of the season. For this week's podcast, myself and Dave.
Hi everyone.
Are joined by photographer extraordinaire, Gary Waitman. Well, welcome along, Gary. Thanks for answering the emergency call. We put a beacon up across Peel Road and you answered, didn't you?
Yeah, third sub.
Third sub, yeah. I wouldn't say that, you know, because third sub's often unused. I did a blog about it back in the day. Well, I'm going old school here, Dave. Blogs, where you used to have to type the stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's on a WordPress site, was it?
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was on my MySpace page. Yeah. I did the tale of the third sub in Manx football, you know, the one that never quite gets on.
It's usually the manager.
So. Yeah, well, actually, shout. That's often sometimes how they use a third sub. But I can't remember who I used as my example, but their whole role that day had been to fire shots at the goalkeeper and occasionally go on with the water bottles. And I thought, you know, what an afternoon that
well,
is.
Well, speaking of firing shots, this man does a lot of that, doesn't he?
Oh, he does.
Dear God.
Dave!
No cliche left unturned.
Take that as tremendous. That is maybe your best segue of the season.
That's probably my only one.
So. Yeah,
I was just going to say I was actually third sub for the police for about a year and a half.
Without ever getting on.
Darren Burns was the keeper at the time.
See, that must be one of the few Manx clubs that ever took two keepers to league games. We were doing the cup finals, didn't we?
Yeah, but not. No, I just did it for something to do, really, rather than standing there.
Yeah. Right, before we go any further, it's that time of the week where we delve into the biscuits.
Yeah, what have you gone for today?
Well, today, as I was walking past the co-op,
You spotted Gary in as well, though, driving past.
This is before I spotted Gary in and we threw a message at a tweet at him. I went to the co-op at that point, and I looked at this biscuit selection. And we've had a lot of them already, I have to say, because this is the 20th podcast of the season.
We're going to have to branch out to a new snack next year.
No, I found another three more. We're going to go own brand. I've gone own brand, and we've gone malted milk biscuits.
Whoa,
have you ever had one, Dave?
I certainly have.
And what do you think?
They're quite nice, actually.
Very
tasteless.
Yeah. But they're not particularly good for you, either. No. You spotted there's quite a lot of saturated fats in them.
But they might be good for tipping into your tea, I don't know.
What's it like
They've got a good crunch to them, so.
They're not bad, they're quite Moorish.
Yeah.
A lot of the biscuits I find are quite Moorish. So.
You don't need any more saturated fats.
You know those thins last week we had with the Furu?
Demolished.
Didn't last the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just went.
I think Furu had half the packet.
He did, he was a hungry lad, wasn't he? He is a big lad, to be fair.
And he works in PE and physical education.
Yeah, so there you go. And he had two games that weekend. We could talk about that briefly. He scored, obviously, as the Ellen Bannon held Yorkshire International Football Association to a draw in Yorkshire's first ever match on Sunday.
Yeah, he opened the scoring early in the second half, didn't he?
Yeah, a good finish. Yeah, it's been on YouTube and
took it well.
He did for a big man. Cliche. Bing, 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 bing.
He scored a few like that, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, I have to say, no, I still love you, Furu, but you weren't at your best against Colby on Saturday, so he's obviously saving himself for that 45-minute
game. Former club, though, wasn't it? You know, he might have been a little bit.
But you say that, there wasn't pretty a lot of emotion on the table last week.
But I think you got him thinking, and I think you probably got inside his head a little bit with that.
Did he score?
No.
So no celebration then,
So, they got the draw. Their goalkeeper, Ben Hall, I think, who's played for Bradford Park Avenue. He was man of the match. You had to pull off some cracking saves. I've seen the videos of that as well. That was
he did pull some pretty good ones. And also Dean Kearns,
Dino, making his debut for Ellerman alongside Joey Quayle and Tom Wood.
Yes, with the three. They all did well.
Yeah, they all did well. 1-1. Look, I'm going to say we edged that. Everything else I've read that said that Yorkshire probably thought they should have edged it, but I think looking at the chances, that was definitely should be an element and win that.
Well, I like the highlights package that was doing the rounds earlier this week, because the first few minutes were all about the bad tackles that were flying in, the heavy tackles. It was a robust game.
I was gutted. Oh, I shouldn't have eaten that biscuit at that point, but to see that the brass band was double booked, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
The brass band, you know, we talked about last week with the lads, they were saying, you're going to get the anthem belted out and brassed off styly by this brass band from the local colliery or whatever it was. They double booked themselves.
Well, you know, they showed up at the Huddersfield versus Liverpool game the other day. There was a brass band there as well.
Oh,
there? The teams, down at the John Smith Stadium. I don't know if it was the same band, but...
It's obviously a Yorkshire thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll get one in Middlesbrough.
Well, that's it. We can talk about that a bit later off. Obviously, we and Gary are both jetting to the north of Riding.
North Riding.
To Stokesley and Middlesbrough and for the Alman FA's game in the Interleague Cup.
Can't contain your excitement, can you?
Two weeks and counting.
Oof.
This time in 2 weeks, we'll still be here.
And it'll be a podcast special that week as well.
Well, yeah, we're going to try and do almost live from Middlesbrough. Talks are underway with the official broadcast partner of the Interleague Cup and all sorts of things
that
like
Paul
that. I believe Hattie might be going as well. It's going to be, as we've just said before, Gary, it's going to be a media circus, isn't
well,
it?
Well, there's plenty of clowns there anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, we should talk about Manx football. Yep. It's probably fair to say, Gary, aside from possibly Hattie, because the man usually does two or three games a weekend, you've seen more Manx football than anyone else in recent years. Would you concur with that?
Yeah, how we suffer for our art, I think.
I'm waiting for the coffee table book to put in. All the art in black and white, you know, stick it out, £25, you know, job done.
Yeah, I think my mum would buy it, I suppose. That'd be about it, I think.
No, we could have a launch night at the sale gallery or something.
And also, we bring them in, it'd be perfect for the podcast.
It would, yeah, just the people flick over before we start recording.
Exactly, you could sell a few here, you know. Give a discount to podcast guests.
And you know, your Volvo now has got quite a big boot. You can just park next to the grounds as people walk
leave
in.
Leave all the remainders in the back, yeah.
You see, I think there's something coming together here.
Are you a publisher, Andy?
No. But do we know a man that is?
I'm sure we can find someone.
But yes, so I suppose we should get back to the beginning of that. How did you become the go-to man for footballers' social media profile pics?
Basically, stop myself going stir crazy on a Saturday. Once I'd stopped playing and managing and being on the FA Council, as it now is, I had to do something on a Saturday afternoon. And I'd done some sports photography when I was sort of 17, 18, just basically mates playing golf and footy and whatever. And stopped because I was playing basically sport all year round, you know, footy, cricket. And so I thought, why not give it a go again?
Yeah.
And I have still got the very first photos I took.
Wow. When was
it? Colby versus Jim's.
Right.
About, I'm hopeless on dates and years, but it's about 12 years ago. Eight, 9 years ago, probably.
That's dedication to Max Football.
And it's stereo, making a very blurry save.
Now, often you tell me that you sometimes use the internet to research how different photographers do stuff.
Yeah.
And how quickly did you start thinking, right, I need to start maybe trying this or trying that? Was it?
It took probably a season or so to sort of think, because I just turned up and started taking photos from the sideline, stood up.
Yeah.
And they're pretty ordinary photos. And focus obviously wasn't one of my huge concerns at the start, but and I started looking at where you see photographers at Premier League games on the TV. I am sad enough to actually freeze footy matches to see where the cameras are behind the goal and that sort of thing, just to see what the professionals do. I just started looking and see, obviously the best place is behind the goal because people are running at you and that's where they want to be.
Yeah.
And low down, the angle gives you a better shot and so on. So, yeah, I just started watching telly, really, to see where the guys were there.
So if there's any aspiring photographers, I'm looking at Dave at the moment.
I'm still aspiring.
Yeah. What would that be, your top tip? Get low down and stand behind the goal?
Yeah, behind the goal is simply because you've got everybody running towards you. You can take shots from the side, and you see guys at Premier League games doing it, but they tend to be taking stock photos, you know, pictures of, you know, players for their, you know, stuff you do in the paper on a player portrait, that sort of thing, and close-ups of people taking throw-ins and so on. But behind the goal, you've got the guys running towards you, so you're going to get a full body shot, you're going to get defenders coming in to tackle them, you're going to get the shot at goal, you tend to get quite a decent sort of view behind as well, which can be quite important. And yeah, it's the best place, I think, and low down, because then you get a feel for the size of it, of a player. And you get more of the sky and whatever else in, so yeah.
I have to agree with, I mean, when I first started, I would be standing up on the side of the pitch as well, and all my pictures are bang average. It wasn't until I saw Gary taking pictures at, you know, the goal ends, that I started doing it, and my pictures are still bang average, but at least the angle's better.
So I noticed you're always at games quite early. Is that something as well? Do you feel like you scout out your position a little bit?
Have a look, yeah, see where I want to be. Although,
and the light and stuff, is it?
Yeah, not particularly, because the light changes so much in 90 minutes. Where I want to be, trying also to establish that you're not going to have any spectators anywhere near you. I think to sort of set up camp quite early and ground with people so they stay away. And basically to have a look, see who's playing as well, because you get to see, yeah. Sometimes I forget, I've got a rotten memory for names in particular, and so I sort of looked like to see faces who are playing, and you get a feel for, like, you're trying to remember who's left footed and right footed and that sort of thing, and who, you know, like, for example, like Sam Kane, if you if Sam's playing, you know that at some point you're going to get a game of Sam leaping 28 feet in the air. But they're good photos. Yeah. You know, it isn't a game with St George's if you haven't got a picture of Sam sort of trying to either kick somebody's head off or head it or something.
So. The other thing with Frank Jones as well, you always know when he comes out of the pitch, he's...
Well, yeah, that's the sort of thing you start to spot. Yeah. You know, somebody like, you know, Frank, as soon as he touches the white line, he leaps, you know, in the air. And it's always a good, it looks a good photo, particularly if there's a crowd behind it with the interleague games and so on. So, yeah, you just start to notice little things that people do.
Yeah. Well, talking about Sam Kane and his leaping, I'm going to ask you now, what's the best photo you think you've taken? Now, I love that one. It was under the floodlights at St John's when he's doing his bicycle click, wasn't it? And it was a goal.
Yeah.
It was an absolute, it had sort of everything.
It was an amazing shot.
Yeah, a cracking shot. So is that one of your favourites?
That's probably the best action shot I think I've taken. And it's probably the one that's been looked at, most football photos have been looked at the most. But the one of Dan Wade, I think, in the rain is probably my favourite shot because I saw it and I had to move around a bit and I didn't have the right lens with me or anything, so I had to manoeuvre myself, try and get that picture. Yeah. I don't try and put it up too often these days because I know it's triggers PTSD in Dan because they were 5-0 down at the time on Onken, and so yeah.
But it's an awesome shot because the rain is so... hard and visible, and you've got the way that I think it's Meps in the background. With
Not, it's Dave Slack.
Oh, is it? With the umbrella?
Yeah. From Cromwell, so yeah, Dave.
But it sort of, again, highlighting, it added to the picture as well.
Well, yeah, it looks like there's only one spectator there. The fact that there's a whole line of us behind him. So, your camera doesn't always lie, but that time it did. He looked like he was the only guy who'd come out.
It was a favourite on our Twitter profile, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I'm sure it came up this week, didn't it?
It was a rotten day, so I just put it up.
Yeah, it was a belter. But I was going to ask you, when you've got a good shot, is it always a good shot straight away? You've taken that picture, do you think, oh, that's a cracker? Or is it only when you get home? Or is it when you've looked back at it in the camera? Or
action shots, you tend to think, yeah, got that.
Yeah.
And I think, there's a couple that sort of stick with me. There's one of them, I took a Lee Gale probably 3 years ago, scoring a goal. I think I said to you at the time, I've got a belter for you.
Yeah.
And you just know... Yeah. Sometimes you've got it right and everything was right, but sometimes occasionally you go back home and there is something you think, oh, actually that's better than I thought it was. But it tends to be instant. You all know if you've got a good one. So.
Well, also, you know, if I'm at the same match as you, and quite often you'll show us a shot on your screen as well, and you know it's in some of them. Are just you just know straight away that's going on the back page of the paper sort of thing. And you've also you've branched out as well into one of your sort of traditional shots for you is the behind the goals.
Yeah.
You get like your fish eyes or things like that, don't you? They're fantastic to see in print.
Yeah, again, that's just from watching the telly. I've wondered what the guys were doing and you sort of looking at, how can I do that? And I started off with a clicker in my hand, which meant I was missing other shots because I was waiting for something to happen in the goal. So eventually I've got these wireless remotes now that where whatever time I take a picture with the camera in my hand, camera behind the goal goes off, so you get a lot of pictures of very bored looking goalkeepers.
But do you find that sometimes that you think, oh, that's a really good picture, and then like, because obviously a lot of your photos go on social media and maybe it doesn't fly as much as you think, or
sometimes I think part of that's because it's pretty niche Manx football. It's I've got, I don't know how many followers on Facebook page, but it's the audience is the people playing and their mums and grandmums and whatever. So it's not got massive appeal. Yeah. It has to be a real standout photo for it to go a little bit more like vaguely viral.
What's the one that's gone most viral? Dan's or?
Dan's, definitely Dan's, yeah. Although actually, bizarrely, the most viewed photo I've got is a ball and chain I took in Castle Rushen on Flickr. It's been viewed thousands and thousands of times. But what you don't want to look at is the names of the people favouriting it. Because they have obviously other ideas of what this ball and chain is.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's right up the street for a meme, that is.
There's a few... I imagine they've got interesting lifestyles.
I think also what's happening more now as well is... Obviously, it gets a lot of press in England, but VAR and things like that, and obviously virtual assistants. Also, you tend to get the goal line shots as well a lot now. And, I mean, I think, say, the Interleague game a few months ago, and was it Furu had a shot or something? Or...
No, it was Jay Skatchman.
Jay Skatchman, actual under 18s, yeah.
The goal that never was.
That's still causing debate.
Well, there is something strange in the photo in that the beads in the in the 3G are bouncing behind the goal line. And I can't think of any reason for them to do that. Although the ball definitely bounced in front of the line, so it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, but
I knew it wasn't a goal as soon as I saw it.
So Gary was pioneering VAR. Is this what you're saying?
Yeah, basically.
The English Premier League FA Cup.
He's a trendsetter.
I did get one of Jim scoring a goal against Michael. It must be 5 or 6 years ago when the ball was clearly over the line and the referee didn't give it.
wasn't there one in the Umbro Cup as well?
Yes, that was in Ireland where it bounced just in front of the line. It wasn't given. It was obviously wasn't there.
But I thought there was one in Glasgow. Didn't Sean have a shot or something along those lines?
That was in the Interleague. That was the one I was talking about before, where wasn't it down the ball a few months ago under the floodlights, and it was a scramble in the area where Sean had kicked it over the line and it cleared back out. He'd scored the rebound anyway, but the first one was about foot over the line.
Sorry.
So what you're saying, a referee should consult Gary before they give him any goal.
He's the go-to man.
I can just see Jerry Thompson, just hang on lads, I'm just going to go and sit up a chat with Gary. Just hang on, Gary.
And I'll go, sorry, it's really blurred.
So... You've seen a lot of football. What's been? Can you any games stand out for you? What was the best one you've seen, sort of from a spectator point of view?
From a spectator, it's probably that Interleague game against Liverpool.
Oh, the unbelievable game!
Yeah. And that had everything, didn't it?
Yeah.
3-0 down at half time.
Yeah.
Win 5-3.
Also, did you have a cracking picture of them
celebrating with? Well, it's when all the kids around and mobbed Cal Morrissey, wasn't it? But there's snow, rain, hail.
Yeah.
Thunder, lightning, everything in that game. That was a brilliant game. But it was nice that sort of that picture of Cal came out of it because it showed how much the crowd had got into it.
Yeah.
And all those kids, and even those kids now who've obviously grown up quite a bit, are still sort of going watching that and taking the mickey out of each other on Facebook. So it's quite funny.
Oh, and has there been any particular stinkers? There must have been
Been some shockers. I've only seen... couple of nil nils.
They're very rare. We've discussed this before. Is it?
I was trying to remember. I think I did one at the end of last season. Was it Braddon? Ramsey Braddon or Ramsey Eyre?
Right.
That'd been a nil niller. That was a dire game. I have seen some poor ones. I mean, even was it last week? Wasn't a great game.
Braddon Foxdale.
Yeah, it wasn't a great game to watch, was it?
Didn't feel like a match. It was just friendly, I think.
Yeah, there was no intensity to it at all. It wasn't the worst game I've ever seen, but that is something I've noticed. You know, the lack of intensity sometimes in certainly second division games, it's just not quite there when you get like Peel Russian or Geordie's Peel, that sort of game, where you want that bit of tension in the air. And that makes for better photos for me as well.
And how do you choose your games? Is it like, are you looking for what percentage's got the biggest story on it, or the most closest?
I look what I think's going to be the best game, but I try not to do the same team 2 weeks on the trot, fairly. And I do actually keep. It's about what some clubs think. I do keep a record of the games I go to.
You do follow the draw sometimes as well, don't you?
In the FA Cup, I have followed the draw. I probably won't do that tomorrow because. There isn't a big game tomorrow in the FA Cup, so I'll probably do Corinthians Laxey tomorrow. But there is, because I did Peel beating Russian.
Yeah.
But Peel are going to, I can't remember.
Peel have got Youth. No,
yes, I can't see that being much of a contest, to be honest.
Yeah.
Although Youth have got some good players, so they may prove me wrong.
Yeah. But we'll talk a little bit more about the FA Cup draw in a bit. Yeah. We've thought about games. I suppose it's only fair we talk about players.
Does any particular player stand out for you over the years?
Pekka.
Yeah.
I doubt, he's probably the best.
You've seen him come from man-child to man, haven't you?
Well, yeah, that's the other scary thing about being of an age. Is that, like the Union Mills guys who were in the Cal Cup team when I was there, those guys are now stopped playing. And that's when you realise you're getting old when you see the Cal Cup a Cal Cup player walking down Strand Street pushing a pram. So, but yeah, probably Pekka. Huge fan of Chris Bass.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I suppose in your playing days, we'll just talk about in a second, you were a goalkeeper. Is there any goalkeepers that have impressed you particularly?
Other than Dan Wade.
Other than Wadey, who was absolute class, Wadey.
Yeah.
Looking back, I think Kev Linden.
Yeah.
He kept me out of the Braddon first team.
You don't hold the brush.
No. it's Kev Linden and Keith Brew, and I think who else kept me out of the... kept me in Braddon combi for a long time. But... No, yeah, I think Wadey was class, and obviously I say, and Kev Linden was a superb keeper.
Yeah. Let's talk about your playing career then, because you played in Greater Manchester, didn't you?
And then you
moved over here, played for Braddon, Union Mills. You've obviously managed at Mills as well. Who stood out in that time? Who were the best sort of players when you were stopping them?
I was stopping them. I remember stopping. Albert Harrison's boot in my stomach once, down on KG5. But there's so many players.
Yeah.
You know, that's there seemed to be, you know, like Falky was playing then. The Gartlands are all in their pomp.
Yeah.
Or younger than they are now.
Anyway. I was going to say Brian's still playing.
John was playing. Yeah. John was a class act. Yeah. Colin McMullen was playing in goals, and he was great stopper as well. So yeah, there's a lot of good players around then, as there are now.
Yeah.
You know, I think there isn't a, you can look back and everybody gets rosy eyed about it, but I think there are as good players around now as there were. Chris Taggart was playing, you know, it's absolute quality up front. So.
And have you got any favourite grounds?
Favourite grounds?
So take picks at first. I don't know, it's a good question for you as well, Dave. Does it sometimes matter?
The best light is up at
Bella Fletcher
is the best light, but it's the worst place on a cold, wet November.
Cold, wet May.
Yeah, Douglas Road, Peel.
Yeah.
Because it's got the stand, and when it's full, when you take photos, it looks like you're at a game. Yeah. You've got a crowd in the background, that makes a big difference.
Yeah. The only thing with Douglas Road is at either end of the pitch, you do get people that try to encroach, don't you?
Yeah, I'm quite rude to people, so it's all... Well, I'll say ruder. I asked them nicely to move once. Yeah, they're pretty good. Actually, to be honest, 99% of the people are very good and don't get in the way. And if you ask them to move politely, they will. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no.
I think now you probably know as well. I would say if they people see, oh, there's Gary. You know, they will give you the room because they respect what you're doing.
Yeah, so it's good that, you know, people do stay out of the way. Mm. Although most grounds, you're not in the way.
Mm.
But they're pretty good to me. Yeah.
You also have it as well with the players. The players know you're there and they will celebrate and they will pose for you as well, don't they?
Yeah, they've started remembering where I am, which is great because you get great photos. I mean, there's that one of Frank.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was Super, I think it's where Super Frank started, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Super Frank. That was at Workington, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, Cumberland.
Yeah, he came running towards the camera. And Sid Batty.
Yeah.
That was quite funny because Sid started running off in the wrong direction and realised where I was and came back.
And as it was
Furrow, yeah, I think the baby was about to be born, I think. Yeah. So, yeah. No, yeah, they have started finding me.
Yeah. Well, we've had it, even though we only put it out there for about half an hour, isn't it, David?
Yeah, you're obviously a popular man because you had a good few Twitter questions, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, we'll kick off with one of your super fans, I'd say, Danny Foulis, obviously. Former Laxey midfielder and now Tides guitar.
Oh,
guitarist.
Yeah, the Tides, yeah.
One of your favourite big fans.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of the Tides, yeah. Looking forward to photographing them on the stage at the Gaiety one day.
Yeah, I'm sure it won't be far away. So the big question, Gary says, do you prefer photographing? Is that even a word? Photographing. Did he actually put photography? I've just copied and pasted in that. Come on, Danny, you're an intelligent lad.
Yeah, photographing. Photographing, that's right.
Yeah. So, football or gigs? I feel this is an excellent question.
It is an excellent question, Danny. Probably both equally, to be honest.
Safe answer.
But football, to be honest, football is what I enjoy doing. Gigs, I really enjoy doing gigs as well.
Yeah.
But it depends where they are. I'm a great moaner about light. As anybody who's ask Justin McMullen, who does all the lighting for Bushes and whatever, I'm constantly moaning about bands looking purple, green and red instead of having bright light. So, no, it's a 50-50 thing. Gigs, obviously, if it's the Tides, yeah, then I try not to miss too many of their gigs because they are superb. And I did actually enjoy, one thing I do really enjoy doing, I've been in the recording studio a couple of times with Matt Creer, and I've done it with the Tides where they're recording an album just before Christmas, so hopefully that'll be out soon. Maybe a few pictures from actually in the recording sessions. That's great fun sitting
there. Yeah. And you've done other sports as well. You know, we talk about your tremendous cricket pitches as well, and you've done netball. And what's your other sort of your favourite sport to sort of take a picture?
Really enjoy boxing.
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, course. We're, many a night we're pitched up in the Palace or the Legion or
the Legion. The, yeah. The Merc.
There's
the
some
Legion.
Cracking pitches though. Like, you know, you talk about the stadium in the background. Yeah. It must be like that in the Legion because everyone's sort of almost on top of the ring, isn't it?
Yeah. You've got the crowd in the background, so it feels like an event and people there. And if the crowd are losing their getting involved in it, then it's even better. There is a photo to be taken in the Legion which will look like it's the 1930s. Everybody's up and around really close to the ring. The boxing, I really enjoy doing the boxing.
And you got that belter of Sammy yelling. I think maybe it was on Final Whistle.
It was absolute
Belter, wasn't it?
That's another one of Jade Burden, I think, a few months ago as well.
She does a Frank, doesn't she, when she wins? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's something you get used to seeing. Mm-hmm. You know Jade's going to, if she wins, she's
the bomber.
She's going to go berserk, so you wait for it.
We should congratulate Jade, actually. They were Floodlit Cup winners on Sunday,
weren't they? Yeah, she scored twice at a 2-1 win. They came from behind.
Against Douglas Royal, arch rival, so probably even more the sweeter after that victory.
Definitely, so well done to Corinthians.
Back to the Twitter questions. And then we had one, we're calling this a tweet, but he sat next to us. So
he is technically on Twitter, but he doesn't use it. But our very own supporter, John Watson.
He tweeted once, didn't he?
He did once, in the Commonwealth Games, on a bus. I was there with him. I've got a t-shirt that says I was there and what he tweeted.
It's called Tosh Watty, if anyone wants to follow
him. He's got quite a lot of followers considering.
I do follow him. Yeah. I have him on notifications in case.
Well, that's what he does. He's a bit of a lurker on Twitter, isn't he? He gets the notification, but
doesn't actually do anything.
You'd always find him in the kitchen at parties, wouldn't you?
He's always watching.
Yeah. Go on, ask the question then.
So he asks, what are the biggest changes, both good and bad, that you've noticed in Mex football since your playing days?
I think the biggest change is probably the players' fitness. I think they're a lot fitter than they used to be. And I think the skill level probably has gone up slightly. Although, as I said before, I think there are still as many good players around. Yeah. I think standard of refereeing is probably as good as it ever has been. And there are some really good referees around. The grounds have improved dramatically. I mean, if there's one big change, I think this quality of the grounds, I think.
It's that pitch and facilities,
pitch and facility, yeah. I mean, as somebody who played for Braddon, who played on Groves Road for years then, while their pitch was underwater, basically.
Yeah.
Union Mills up with the old...
Union Mills, it wasn't a bad pitch, it did get a bit boggy on a wet day, and games were called off, but games are still called off now. I think perhaps too many games are called off at the moment. I think there's too much protection of pitches, which is why they're good, but why Tony Meppen's got no hair. So
yeah. Is there anything, you know, you say there's gone, as he's put it, there's a bad change? Anything that's, you know, you think? Oh,
I don't think so. No, I think.
What about, were there more people playing football? You know, do we think what we're saying, the participation numbers is the buzzword?
I think. Participation maybe on a Saturday's gone down, maybe.
Yeah.
Although there are probably more, there are more clubs, but sides are struggling to get out combis. But I think probably participation on the youngsters has probably doubled or trebled or whatever. It's gone up dramatically, and I think the coaching side of that's obviously improved. I mean, you know, it's the coaching side of all football is a lot more professional than it was. Whether that's a good or bad thing, I don't know. Mm. I was a great shouter when I was a manager. So.
Right, Cal Pete's also tweeted.
Jim's top scorer, do we think?
Yes, and
I'm just going to take a punt on that.
good shout. Will you ever do a Jim's game again?
I'm sure I will. I think the first 4 or 5 years I took photos.
Every week.
So yeah. I think I've got a lot in the bank.
Yeah.
And the they're struggling at the moment, and that's part of the reason they're not. I'm not photographing them, you know, if unless there's a really good relegation battle.
Mm.
I must admit, I do tend to pick and choose my games a bit.
That's fair enough.
Richard Brandt, the student that he departed. I don't mean he's leaving the world, but he's leaving the Isle of Man, isn't he? He's moving back south, isn't he? So,
he's having a testimonial this weekend?
Yes, the tremendously kickoff of 5:10 on Sunday. You can go out the bowl if you're passing. You can watch the Richard Brandt 11 take on Douglaston District in his testimony. He's been there 13 years, is it, Dave?
Which team is Dave Matson going to be in here?
Oh, I think he's got to be in the 11, hasn't he? It'll be him, there'll be Ronaldo.
The rest of the dream team.
Yeah, who else?
Hochester.
Lawrence Looney, you know, it'll be an all-star cast, I'm guessing. But 13 years, to be fair, before we ask you this question, 13 years, you read out all the different roles he's done. We're not going to read them out because Dave will be out the back because we probably missed something out. But he's pretty much done everything from cleaning the changing rooms out to being first team manager, hasn't
he? Everything. He's held so many roles in that club. So it's nice for them to give him a bit of setting up this week, isn't it?
And he's been in the football services officer role at the FA for the last couple of seasons. Everyone seems to know. No one's had a bad word about him, has he?
Does a great job, and I own some photos.
Right, here's the first question for you, Gary. If you could borrow a time machine, what football match would you want to attend and take a photo of? This isn't restricted to Manx football. He said, i.e. Brazil 1970 World Cup winners or Douglaston District 3-2 winners versus Derby in 2009.
Probably neither of those, actually. I'd love to have been at the Etihad when City won the Premiership.
Aguero.
I'd love to have been for that. I'm a huge City fan and used to watch them home and away when I lived across when I wasn't playing. I'd love to take pictures at the Etihad.
There's only one Jimmy Grimble though.
Would you reckon you would have been able to hold the camera though when you were?
Probably not. No. I'm such a huge fan. It's the only game of football that's probably reduced me to tears, that, to be honest.
I was sat here next to Watty when that game was on, listening to the commentary. Watty's a Man United fan.
Well, why? Ooh. What was it, Sunday?
Yeah, and it was back when we had Sunday deadlines. And from Watty being delighted at the 2-1 score to then virtually throwing his keyboard out the window at 3-2. It's a good one.
Richard also asks, what's the best coffee shop on the island?
I seem to have a reputation for its age. Yeah, the best coffee shop isn't there anymore. It used to be the Velvet Lobster on the quay.
Yeah,
it used to be a Saturday morning breakfast club in the Velvet Lobster back in the day. These days, I tend to go in Waterstones.
Oh.
If only because it's quiet.
You're trying to avoid M&S on lunchtime.
You stay out of M&S and avoid the pensioners cluttering the aisles. simply because you know you're always going to get a seat, really.
It's not a huge
rap for a coffee shop if they've got a seat.
And the last question from Brant is a good one. You versus Hattie in a dance-off. Who wins?
It's got to be Hattie, hasn't it?
Would you be able to cope with his dab?
Well, Hattie's a bit of a mover and shaker, isn't he? I remember him after, I can't remember which game it was now, with the Interleague, we were away, and introduced himself to a group of ladies as the Hatsters in town.
How many G&Ts is he at this point?
Actually, not very, none at all. I think he was halfway down the pint.
He was carried along, obviously, on the ocean of the day.
Yeah.
I can imagine he's very enthusiastic about what he does. So I'm with Gary. I'm not disrespecting Gary. I think he'd give it full egg and beans, wouldn't he?
I've never seen this side of Hattie, and I don't know if I want to.
It's a good point. Right, that's it for the Twitter questions.
No, it's not, actually.
We've got some breaking news.
Well, we've had another one from the Goalkeepers Union. Mark Blair has tweeted in, who's the most photographic footballer? And he's offered up Callum Morrissey as a suggestion for you.
Photogenic?
I'm not sure. I think Sam Kane, because he's...
The leaper.
He's the leaper. Lee Gale.
Yeah. Another one who... That was the belt the other week when he was running away doing
players who sort of... You want to catch the guys when they've scored, when they've just lost it for that split second, and the emotion takes over rather than... Where's Gary? You want to see somebody who's actually lost it, and Lee just ran off. Again, because the crowd was in the background as well. Yeah.
That was a corker. Dave, is that any more?
No, there's Rory and a few others are having a bit of a goalkeeper discussion about Mignolet and Karius, and have suggested that we're going to start a topic, a debate with us next week about this. But other than that, there's no other discussion.
What's the Manx football link there?
I don't actually know.
There probably isn't one.
No, we've just been tagged in it, so yeah, thanks for that.
I think they're both of equal ability.
Okay, done.
Right, before we look ahead to Saturday's games with Gary, Dave, you caught up with Brandon assistant manager and all-round Brandon St George's legend, Mick Hegarty, after Swans' FA Cup win over Foxdale at the Bowl, didn't you?
Yes, he was obviously pleased. I mean, it's been a tough few weeks for them, so just pleased to get back to winning ways. And they go up against Ramsey this week, so I think they're quite confident to get another win.
Well, let's have a listen to what Mick had to say now.
Right, we got there in the end. It was a tough old match out there, but you got through to the next round in the end. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I think it's nice to score a couple of goals. Like, we've been really struggling, like to score. So.
Is this the result that sort of reignites the season? It's obviously been a tough few weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think because we've been so stop-start, we've never been able to get, like, a match-fit team, and we've been, like, decimated by injuries as well.
Yeah.
So we played Peel a couple of weeks ago. Not our best performance, but you could see we were rusty.
Yeah.
We were a bit better today, but you can still see the rust. Ramsey next week, we will hopefully be a bit better again.
Yeah, I watched you guys play against Colby a few weeks ago, and you had the majority of that game, but you just couldn't take your chances. Whereas today, there were times when it felt it was going the similar way, but in the end, you got the job done. I mean, it was two late goals, but it was a good team performance in the end.
Yeah, and made up Andy scored as well. I think, like, having him back, getting him fully match fit, I think that's going to be big for us this year.
Well, he almost scored an exquisite goal in the first half, didn't he, with that chip that sailed just wide.
Yeah.
But it was a good finish in the end with an assist from the keeper, no less.
Yeah, I think he owed us that after his howler.
Yeah. It was one of those, Foxdale made it tricky for you. I mean, the game never really sort of took off, but it was quite even in the middle of the pitch, but they made it tricky for you, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they're a good team. I think Foxdale, they were good last year as well. I fancied them to go up, like, with us last year.
Yeah.
But they didn't quite do it. So I think they struggle the same as we do because their pitch is susceptible to the weather.
Yeah.
They never really get a run of games going. That affects them as well, I think.
Now, in that vein, next week I believe you guys have got a week off, have you? Is that right?
No, I think it's Ramsey away now.
Oh, big game then.
Cup game then.
Is it cup? Oh, right, okay. Is that a rearranged fixture from the first half of the season, is it?
No, it's because they've gone through in the cup. Okay. That's the next round of the cup.
Okay, alrighty. That's great. So after that, I believe you've got St John's, but are you hoping this is a springboard now? You can get a few wins together because you obviously had such a flying start to the season, didn't you?
Yeah, and I think hopefully the game next week will be on, and that gives us, like, going into the St John's game, we'll have played like two games, we'll have a bit of match fitness, and hopefully we'll start getting some players back as well. We have a couple of the meals away today.
Yeah. Mark had a good game in midfield today. Yeah. What's the latest on Stuart Pacey? Is he?
I think he's done for the season.
Massive loss for you, isn't
it? Yeah. Since he's gone, that's when the goals have sort of dried up.
Yeah.
Because he links the play so well. But now Andy's back, we've got presence up there again. You saw today, he won a lot in the air.
Well, you got the quality there, you know. He's always going to pull something out of the bag, isn't he?
So, yeah.
Well, congratulations. Is this the start of a cup run, hopefully? You want to...
Well, yeah.
The cup specialist last year, weren't you?
So. Yeah, it's winnable next week. Probably going to that like his favourites. So. And then I think we're in the semi-final. Get a nice draw. Maybe another trip down to the Bowl.
There we go. Good luck for the rest of the season. Cheers, mate.
All right.
Right, welcome back. We've still got Gary with us. We're going to have a look ahead to Saturday's fixtures. There's a lot on, Dave, isn't there?
There is, and we're going to be on adjacent pitches this weekend, aren't we?
That's very exciting, isn't it? I can shout abuse at you in person rather than electronically this week. So we've got sort of the showpiece in the middle.
Yes.
Is the Friends Provident International FA Cup first round.
Yes.
Now, we've got 8 games tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm looking out the window. Looking out the window, and it looks fine. We'll stop there because I know Dave reads the weather's coming up in a bit. My tie of the round.
Yep, this is where you're going.
Repeat of the 1972 FA Cup final. Paul Rose versus St John's. There you go.
How did you find this out, Andrew?
Well, how do you think?
Eric.
Yeah. I actually did know this though, because we did a feature on it, I think, a couple of years ago.
Nostalgia.
Yeah.
You read the paper because I know.
But on that occasion, I think it was St John's shocking Paul Rose. St John's were Paul Rose were the top side at the time, and St John's were in the second division. This time it's the other way around. Pulley in second division looking for promotion. St John's mid table in the Premier League. Is there a cup set on the cards here, Dave?
Possibly. If Pulley can pull out their first team, you know, and they've got the likes of Mark Priestnell and Glover and that available, there's no reason why they can't, but St John's got to be favourites for this. They've had a good season. They've obviously had the notable results against Rush and Geordies, and they'll be quite confident of getting through this one.
Gary, I've called them the Lost Galacticos of the second division this year, because they've got Mark Priestnell, they've got Stephen Glover, they've got Barry English, they've got Nathan Yates, you know, the big Stewie Morris in goal. The who's who of second division footballers, really, with a couple of former Ireland internationals thrown in the mix as well. At home.
I mean, if there's going to be an upset, I would have thought that would be the game.
Yeah.
You obviously picked well there.
Yeah, I think also something happens. Paul Rose is a mythical place, isn't it? There's always something additional that happens. I've been there when dogs have walked across the pitch, people on quad bikes. You know, there is something that will happen, and I predict it will tomorrow. Been there, we talked when we had the Paul Rose boys in, when Stu was involved with the FA Cup semi-final or quarter-final, where they beat Peel on penalties. Peel, obviously, were top team at the time.
Yeah.
Stewie saved a couple of penalties in the darkness. You know, it had gone that long. There's something about Paul Rose in the cup, isn't there?
You're bigging this up, mate. No. This is,
I do look like...
It's got 0-0 in extra time all over it,
it's got St John's winning 8-0, isn't it? But no, I do feel that tomorrow it could be...
If there's going to be an upset, that's where it'll be, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think St John's will win, but probably you've got a good chance here.
Yeah. The all Premier, one of the old Premier League ties, I think there's a couple in this round, sees Corinthians host Laxey up at the wonderfully lit Bella Fletcher.
That's where you're going, isn't it, Gary?
Yeah, that's where I plan to go, weather depending.
Home win, do we think?
I think so, yeah. Laxey have got a good young side with, you know, Matty Wilkinson, Joe.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance for Laxey, but Corinthians, I think, will just be too strong for them.
Laxey haven't played much in recent weeks, have they?
No, they're another side that have had their momentum stopped by the weather, but I'd say the league fixture early on the season, it was only 1-0 to Corinthians. It was a Danny Gerrard goal that won it for them. So it was a close battle, and the Laxey boys felt they should have got something from that. So, you know, if that side turns up again, you never know, but... Yeah,
Corinthians have to be on their A game, I think.
Yeah.
They should win it. They'll be too strong for them.
I think so. You've got the likes of Sean Doyle and Steve Whitley.
They're playing some good football as well, Corinthians. They're knocking it about quite well. So.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be... There could be goals in this one. But I would say it's probably going to... Corinthians are edge this one as well. They'll only be there or thereabouts coming in the season. Now, we've talked about last year and how fantastically well they did, the best ever league, but this is the time now they need to start living up to that reputation they're creating for themselves, isn't it? They need to be getting to the quarterfinals and starting to win.
There's been a good side at Corinthians for probably the last 3 or 4 years that's promised and promised and promised and never quite delivered. So in the next couple of years I think they really got to, because they should all be at their prime really, as players. I mean, there's a couple in there I remember, like Burnsy and Adam Killier, who were under 17s in the European Cup
with the cricket cup.
So, guys I've seen coming all the way through.
Yeah,
it's nice to see Adam Killier's tempers calm down a little bit.
Douglas Athletic, Douglas Royals, another one of the all top flight affairs. Yeah. What's the game you're going to do, Dave?
Yeah, this should be a good one, I think. I would not like to say which way this is going to go. I mean, Athletic will be favourites. Yeah. Royal obviously had that little run of 3 wins lately, and it's really sort of reignited their season.
Athletic, they'll probably be a bit disappointed. They got quite heavily beaten by St Mary's the other week, having won the reverse fixture so comfortably. They could have really maybe put a mark down with that. If they'd done the double over St Mary's, it would have established them properly as a Premier League team, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think, Mary's played well that day, but Athletic probably deserved... I think the scoreline probably flattered Mary's a little bit, but Mary's were just too good for them on the day, I think. I think Athletic can play better.
Yeah. Royal... I get a lot of young kids. Now, we say, you know, Laxey, but it's another 2 or 3 years younger again, isn't it? Most of these lads are only 16, 17.
All impressing in the under-18s, aren't they?
Yeah, and I suppose this fixture, almost, there's no pressure on them for this. There's not league points up or grabs. You know, they can go out and just play, and that might help them. You know, as a 16-year-old being told by Chris and Fitzy to go, right, just
just enjoy yourself just for 90 minutes.
Yeah. It could maybe kick them on.
Definitely. I mean, you know, it's quite nice for them to have the distraction of the cup. If you look at the league form, there's only 2 points in them between them in Dafka's favour.
Right.
So, you know,
closer than you'd think.
Maybe. It is. I mean, the big problem for Royal is they ship a lot more goals than Dafka have. But I think they'll put up a good fight in this one. But I think home advantage will probably pay off.
Yeah, it's not the best pitch, is it?
I reckon Dave could have to practice the thermals because I think that's going to go to extra time.
Yeah.
And I won't be standing around and hold your hand. Ramsey Braddon, another top flight affair. Two of the teams that are struggling near the foot of the Premier League. Again, no pressure on this for either of them. Is it, you know, it's a bit of a cliche that's trotted out in the English Premier League and English. Is it an unneeded distraction for these two teams, a cup run?
I don't think so, actually. It's better that they're playing than not playing, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, you know, Braddon will be keen to carry on the momentum from that win last weekend. And as it's Ramsey, you know, they'll feel they've got a good chance of winning. Likewise, Ramsey will probably fancy their chances of this. But last week, for Braddon, I mean, Andy Glover popped up at the end. I mean, he's obviously a standout player for them. And if he's on form, you know, you'd fancy him to score against anyone. Lika and Mark O'Neill had a great game. And I know you think this as well, Gary, but Joey Andrews just stands out.
Oh, yeah. Joey stands out as being, you know, the class act on that side, without a doubt.
But Ramsey, we've talked about this before on the podcast, they need to get a result, whether it be in this competition, probably more pressingly in the league, but they need something just to kickstart the campaign again, doesn't it?
Yeah, they've only had the one win and a draw this season, so, you know, it's been a long slog for them. But yeah, this could, a win here could be the catalyst they need. Interesting.
Big close game, that one.
Battle of the centre half. Qualtro against Andrews.
Yes, I'm struggling to call a winner. I'd probably go with you. As you say, that win last week will give them a big boost in the arm. I'm going to go for the Swans, I think, just to edge this one.
I think so, yeah. That would be that's my second choice game, that one, actually. Yeah.
Nice trip to Ballaclone.
Yeah, like a trip to the Ballaclone.
Yeah. St Mary's versus A United. Now, the cup romantic in me wants to say there's a chance of an upset in this, but there isn't really, is it? Because Ayr have struggled this season since they went back down, and you know, it doesn't look like they can pull a result out of the bag in this one, does it?
No, their form is not good. They were due to play Castletown last week, but it was called off. Another side that's been hit by the weather, but you can only look at St Mary's for a win. And Al Harrison's done a good job there.
Yeah, they've improved tenfold over the last few weeks, haven't they?
Yeah, they looked a decent. I say they looked a good side last week. I think they can play better. I think there does seem to be one of these which St Mary's is going to turn up. But no, I think they should win that comfortably.
Agree with you there. Steve Priestman will be probably gunning for more goal scoring records, won't he? So watch out the Tangerines' defence. Peel versus Youthy. Now, again, this is a game that you'd like to think that there may be a bit of magic of the cup about it, but that, again, Peel look firm favourites.
They have to be, you know, and I think Lee Gale's back from his skiing holiday.
Yeah, the Instagram and Facebook updates have stopped, so I'm presuming he's back in the Isle of Man.
Yeah, and to be fair, with or without him, you know, Peel would have started as favourites, but they do have a good side. And, you know, we mentioned before, they've got the likes of Johnny Lund, they've got Harry Weatherall, and they're doing well. They've got over their mid-season blip, and they're pushing for promotion again, so they might just like to see this as a bit of a marker, gauge their progress a little bit, but Peel will be favourites for this.
In this game, Gary, is it key that Youthy keep it tight for the first 20 and try and frustrate Peel? Or?
They're going to have to, I think, because there's a real intensity about the way Peel play. I've seen them 4 or 5 times this year, and they've seemed to have stepped up that intensity even from last year. So I think it'd be fairly comfortable for Peel, I would have thought.
Yeah.
But Youthy, we've rattled off the players they've got. I think, you know, hopefully they'll come up and stay together.
Yeah, it would be nice to see them at least be in the game at half-time, wouldn't it? I think that would be a nice play. That's where they can kick off. We also know that the Peel fans are notoriously get on the backs of their own teams, can't they? So if Youthy even hold them at half-time, that crowd, the Shed in particular, could turn, can't it?
Yeah, the Shed's an interesting place.
James versus Castletown, an All Division 2 affair at Tramode. Now, we've already had one postponement. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. It's one of the JCK Division 2 games that we rearranged for tomorrow. Jim's pitch must be one of those that's on the watch list, as we say.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. But it hasn't, again, that's improved. I think it's Les Crellin's done an awful lot of work on that in the last few years, and it looks great. It just still holds water. You know, it always has been.
Yeah, I suppose that's what happens when you're next to a river, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you're next to a river.
Yeah.
And a stream as well. Yeah, there's a stream runs between Jim's and the...
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, surrounded on two sides by water.
So Jim's is Castown. Castown would probably be favourites for this one, then.
Definitely, you know, they're flying high at the top of the league, so, you know, they'll just want to keep that run going, really. I can't remember what the score was when they last met in the league, but it was a Castletown win.
And Crawley's still on his run, isn't he?
Yeah, we've talked about it for the last 3 weeks. He hasn't played a game since. Four hat-tricks in a row. So, yeah, he'll certainly be up for getting another one tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, all eyes look, all hands point to an away win.
I must just say, it was... Well, no, that was it. Who was in the World Cup last week? The massive penalty shoot. That was Michael United and
Governors. Oh yeah, definitely a mention for them. They actually, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Yeah, because they play a bit. Yeah, you're right. I'm getting ahead of myself, Dave. It's the giddiness of a Friday afternoon. It's all these milk malted biscuits. The final game of this round of the French Premier International FA Cup sees Colby welcome St George's to the Station Road. Now, I was unfortunate enough to see the league fixture between these two only last week, because obviously the fixture list was decimated.
Bit of a slog, wasn't it?
It was a bit of a slog in many respects. Geordie's, you were talking about the preservations of pitches.
Yeah.
Theirs was well and truly... I was going to say knackered.
Yeah.
After Saturday, because it just caught... neither side could really play football on that. 2 points from that game. Martin Moore, one of the games, goals of the season.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Former podcast guest.
You know, you would have got good odds on first goal score or being a Colby player, wouldn't you, against...
Yeah,
you got even better if it was a Peel player. But against St George's. Ambitious, yes. Did he mean it? Definitely. He picked the ball up in midfield, saw Andy Perry off his line, bang. Next thing, it's in the back of the net. Great goal. St George's then piled on the pressure. Colby had pretty much had to play 10 behind the ball. They defended well. It was only 3-1 at half time, and I thought, oh, fair play. You know, Colby can take something from this. But then St George's.
Their fitness as well as their desire.
Their fitness and their desire. And then they had the wind as well in the second half. And Chris Bass was back to his best last week, I felt, or getting back to his best. It just all took its toll on poor Colby. But, you know, they can take some heart. The performances at the back, they're dogged at the back. Adam Kinvig looks a bit of a fine at...
obviously they've got the talent of, like, Carl Hickey and that there in defence. And up front, Jordan Primrose-Smith, Jim Collins, a good player. Yeah. You know, they have got a good side there. I mean, I think they'll just be looking to stay in this game until about half-time.
Yeah.
And take some positives out of it. But,
do you think, Gary, is this a case where Chris thinks... I've got other battles to sort of fight that are more important than this. Maybe even put rest a few players for this game.
I don't know. Speaking to Chris earlier in the season, he was moaning that they weren't getting any continuity in the the matches with the junior the under-18s games and the Ireland games. Mm. Obviously, having their fixtures called off, so I think he may just keep playing the side and hope that gives them some fluency, which they seem to have been missing a little bit this year.
And same, I suppose it's a similar quandary that's probably going through Chris McKenna's head as well. You know, he's got probably big 6 points. You know, they're still well in the mix of the relegation, aren't they? And the big game's coming up for them. Does he think, oh, I'll rest a few and this doesn't really matter to me?
I don't think so. I think you try and play amateur football. Most of the time, you don't get much chance to work on shape or anything. So just playing games is what you need to do if you've got a fairly settled 11, 13 players. Just play those players.
I have to say, Colby have, you know, they've done quite well with the fixtures. They played 17 in the league. You know, they played more than anyone else other than St Mary's. So momentum for them, you know, should be reasonably okay for them. But I think you're right. It's going to be...
A long afternoon.
Long, I think.
And I'm pretty sure Dickie's going to be sweeping a lot of mud out of the clubhouse. Right, there's one cheeky little candlelight Premier League game, isn't there, Dave?
Yeah, although I have my doubts whether this will go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're probably right to have your doubts about this one. Douglas High School Old Boys play Russian at Blackberry Lane. They only played the reverse fixture of this.
A couple of weeks ago, I was there for that one. And, you know, Russian ran out 4-1 winners in the end, but. First half was a good contest, and Old Boys were the better side. So they can replicate that if the game goes ahead. Then they've got a good chance of getting a win here. But Russians, they've just, a lot of their big players are in good form at the moment. So I think it'll be just be too tough for Old Boys.
You were at that game as well, were you, Gary? Were you at the Old Boys in Russian the other week? No.
No.
But have you seen both these teams?
I've seen them both. Yeah. Russian, I think I've seen Russian play Peel twice this year, and probably should have got something out of each game. Really,
I think
Russian superior firepower really got them through those two. But Old Boys again, they're a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde side, aren't they? Which Old Boys side's going to turn up? I think that could be quite a tight game. If Russian turn up with their A game, then I think they should win it quite comfortably. But
Are we saying Russian still in with a chance of winning the title? Obviously, they've only played 12 games, same as St George's. And are trailing by 7 points, if my maths is correct.
Yes, they certainly are.
I think they're probably battling for second place, I would have thought.
It's just one of those.
It's one of those, if who's got to still play who at the top, isn't it? Those games will be tight this year.
Yeah.
Probably tighter than they've been for the past 4, 5, 10, 12 years even. I think I still fancy Geordies to win it, but we'll see.
We'll see. Woods Cup game, just to add further to the mix, the Church Colour Woods Cup, rearranged from last week.
Smorgasbord of football.
Every league and division almost represented, cup represented. Obviously, Onken Moran is the Woods Cup game. Again, it looks like a tight encounter this day.
Should we give the two of the form sides? I was at this corresponding fixture last year, and Onken ended up winning 5-2, I think it was. And home advantage this time. I don't know what the pitch is going to be like at the Nivison, but they'll certainly start as favourites. But Moran, they're in good form after that win against Pulley as well. Mm-hmm. That was a huge result for them. Just, I think it's given them a bit more belief that they can go up against any side in the division.
Yeah.
So this should be a close one. Wouldn't be surprised if it went the distance.
Extra time, more penalties.
Yeah.
The
man who scored 4 goals for Onken in that game last year is actually in the combi this week. So Joe Rees, he won't be doing that again.
Fair enough. Right. Gary, you're obviously an Onken man yourself.
I live in Onken, but within spitting distance of the stadium. Yeah. But I've got a soft spot for Moran because I play bowls at Moran. So
they could call it the Gary Wade Graham McDonald.
What do I do? I think Moran have got a chance in that, without a doubt. I think I fancy a bit of an upset in that against the home.
No, I don't think anyone want to play Moran at the moment, especially as you say, their confidence will be soaring after that big win over Paul Rose the other week. JCK Division 2, now there's one game off already, isn't it? And we saw a tweet from Douglasson District.
Yeah, the game at home to Malou is off. Now, whether that has anything to do with the Brandt testimony on Sunday, who knows?
No.
Whether they're all out on a Branty session tonight, I don't know. But
doesn't look good. I think part of the issue now is they're struggling to mark them out because they're so wet and the muddy. And they can't get the machinery on to do that or do anything else. So I think that we're getting to that point now. Even a little bit of rain is causing a lot of issues because it's just what they call a cumulative effect.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the water tables and all sorts of stuff like that being so high. But that game's off. That means there's only two on at the moment. Union Mills versus Foxdale. Big game for Foxdale, really.
It is.
They picked themselves up after last week. I know it was the cup, but that was the first time they played in a while. And you need to keep the pressure on at the top, don't
they? They do. I'm a fan of Jay Chatwood. I thought he had a good game last week. He scored and, he was all around. He just caused problems for the Brandon defence. Foxdale, they're playing catch-up. They've only played 11 games this season, so they are still in the mix for a top four or possibly even promotion. But they just need to get that run going now. And they'll start as favourites. They are only one place above Mills in the table, but they're 9 points clear of them. Quite a gap, so they'll fancy their chances of getting the win, but Mills, we talk about matches or results that have given them confidence. They obviously beat Youthy a while ago, and that was a massive result. So on their day, they could do it.
Luke Booth as well, scoring for fun.
Yeah,
so he's still top of the Division 2 scoring charts. Isn't he?
Second favourite striker again.
So I think this is going to be a tricky game for Robbie Jarksdale. I don't know what you think, Gary.
I've only seen Foxdale, and that was last week. So I don't know. I mean, Union Mills always have a decent young side, don't they? Although you can't keep having a decent young side forever. So I presume Foxdale will win that.
Mm-hmm. Final game in Division 2. There's only two. So he's Governors Athletic playing Michael United at Bemahague. It's slightly later kick-off, isn't it? Half two. Should point out now that all the cup games kick off at the bizarre kick-off time of 1:45. Not half one.
Except for St Mary's.
Except for St Mary's, because half two, because of the booking.
Yeah.
League games are off at two, are they?
Yes, they
and
are.
And then this one's off too, again, because of the booking.
Yeah, just to confuse you.
Just pick up a paper, they're all in there.
Yeah.
1:45 for the Cup, FA Cup, Woods Cup. 2 o'clock for the Premier League. 2 o'clock
for... You're right, Lou.
I'm just trying to get it clear in my own head.
Sorry, you've got the paper, don't worry about it.
Hope people are taking notes.
Yeah. Governors Athletic versus Michael then. Now, this is a classic Manx football list, isn't it?
Yeah.
I saw the end of this on Periscope last week. Did you see this?
I missed this, no.
No, so Michael United went and Governors, right, you can pick up the story in a minute. Michael were 4-1 down, weren't they, in the Woods
yes.
Cup?
Yeah. They had a player sent off.
Right.
In the second half. They got it back to 5-all.
In extra time?
No, I believe it was actually 5-all at the end of the 90.
Right.
And there was no further goals in extra time, I think.
Right.
And then so the dreaded penalty shootout.
Penalties come on. So I click on the link. This is about five. Well, it was 5 o'clock. And it was going dark. Even though I had the floodlights on.
Yeah.
Floodlights. Sorry, Danny. You know, no wonder I couldn't say I couldn't even say now. Photographing. There we go. So the foot it comes on, and it the man the whoever did the commentary was tremendous. By the way, a lot of swear words, and I'm very biased towards Michael. And I was regretting like letting you go, my stepson, watch it with me, to be honest. But anyway, it was 11-all, I think.
Yeah.
And both goalkeepers were just taking their penalties. They scored, so then it started again. So then I think Rob Bell was the unfortunate Governors player that missed. Fraser Campbell, I'm pretty sure, got the winner. And that made it 12-11.
12-11, Michael won in the end.
I'm just thinking what happens when a player is sent off.
Well, I don't know, but anyway,
assume he can't take a penalty.
Well,
assume not, but yeah.
But yeah, so
bit of an epic, and you know, Sam Liver got a hat trick for Governors, and Nick Hurt, the evergreen Nick Hurt, got a brace for Michael. So yeah, a nice little
Groundhog Day this week then.
I know, unfortunately, no penalties.
It's nearly Groundhog Day, actual Groundhog Day, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. I saw an article on with the what is it? What do they use? You know that animal? Come on, Dave.
I don't know.
A groundhog.
Is it? Oh, it's actually called a groundhog.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like a beaver.
No, it's a groundhog.
Oh, really? That makes a lot of sense now, Gary. Anyway,
we learn stuff all the time.
Every day's a school day. I said this to Burrow last week. But yeah, so it's Governors, Michael.
Bottom of the table clash in Divi 2. Governors are bottom on 3 points. Michael are just ahead of them on 5. Governors will start as favourites in this one, having the home advantage.
Even after losing last week?
I think so, yeah. But obviously with the likes of Hurty and that, they've got the quality, Michael. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this one pans out.
As a former manager, Gary, Tom Chamberlain must have been going absolutely bananas last week after surrendering a 4-1 lead to a team with 10 men.
Yeah, I imagine it was interesting in the change room afterwards.
Yeah.
Lots of shouting, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Certainly if it was my school of management.
Yeah. I think the momentum's with Michael, so that's why I'm going to tip them to win. It has to be up in 90 minutes this time, doesn't it?
Yeah, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? You'd expect them to win.
Hurty, if he's continuing his latest comeback, it could be a key player in this one, couldn't he?
Could he get an Ireland call up? I don't know.
You know, he keeps pushing, there's a couple of weeks, isn't there? Yeah. Right, before we look to the two favourite features of the podcast, Comedy Corner and Dave Reads the Weather, I was speaking to the lads before we started recording. I was just happened upon Nev, Neil Withers' Facebook page last night, and he posted a YouTube link which contained... It's hard to describe, Gary, what it contained. It contained a video he'd taken from his television...
Yeah.
Of which I believe was a VHS of a Moraine race day. Now, race day to me is where you watch horses and you bet, and then it's usually voiced by Roy Moore. And then you have a bet, and then you can back the jockey and all that sort of. Then you raise a few quid for the thing.
Yeah.
not in Rouen, apparently, in the early noughties. They were all dressed in various outfits.
They put the fancy into fancy dress.
There was Jamie Jockin, there was Mark Blair was on there, wasn't there? A young Mark Blair.
Yeah, I think Snapper was there.
Jim Travers, I believe.
Yeah,
was there,
I think Dunner.
So there was a who's who of the Crosby talent in the early noughties. I must admit, I didn't watch all of it, because Nev, you need to work on your sound performance. But
come on, it had been in his garage for 16
years. Yeah. To be fair. I couldn't tell where it was. Was it at the playing field?
I think it must have been at the playing field.
It looked a lot bigger. It looks a lot bigger on telly, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the goalposts were down. That's probably what it was.
But yeah, I'm going to tweet the link later. Most bizarre thing, though.
I appreciate how you bet on that, I have no idea.
Yeah, but anyway, it's worth a look.
Shocking. Can't wait. Don't need to go to the FA sponsorship launch tonight. I'm watching this at home.
I had six views when I'd seen looked on it last night, so we'll try and get it up to double figures with our tremendous social media influence. From an absolute bizarre fancy dress race in Crosby to Combi Corner.
Even more.
Yeah. No. Yes. Combi Corner.
Oh dear. Well, yeah, we had a raft of postponements last week, so only two games went ahead. Both of them in JCK combination 2. Ogden closed the gap on leaders Youthy, down to 3 points, but they have played a game more. They beat Moran 6-2 at home. So I bet it's been a bit unbearable in training for Ogden this week, because Brian Ring scored a hat-trick.
Wow, Ringo.
Fair play to him. Jay Pollard got a brace and Andy Asbridge completed the scoring. And also, Moran legend, Duren Killip, scored twice.
He did? But at brace? He wasn't on that video, was he? Kipper?
He may well have been. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, the disguises and the fancy dress is that good. Yeah. It's worth a watch. I've talked it up. People are going to think it's rubbish now. But yeah, it's worth a watch. Right, now my new favourite feature.
The only... God.
But you said there's only two games.
Yeah, that was one game.
Oh, right, yeah.
I wasn't really listening.
Yeah, who does? The only other match was Castletown remain a point behind Oncud in third place after they beat 5-1. Jamie Cadwallader got a brace, and also goals for Connor Smith, Mike Kenny and JD Mitchell. Zach Hannon scored for Ayr.
There's a few... Have you finished now?
I have, mate. You're allowed to continue.
There's a few first team names being creeping into the combi. You can tell there's been a few postponements and the eligibility's smudged. And of course, we'll get that now because Junior Cup eligibility sort of rears its head, doesn't it? And people are trying to get themselves qualified.
There'll be a few bizarre first teams in the next few weeks.
We can't
win the league, but we can get a chance in the Junior Cup.
the silver cup hunters, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, are you ready?
I'm never ready for this, mate.
It's time for Dave Reads the Weather.
Right, well, I have to say, it's not looking too hopeful.
Okay.
The rain, even though there's a bit of blue sky out there now.
But there's flipping loads, Dave.
Oh, right. Cracking the flags.
So it's alpine out there. What about the snow?
The rain's due to come in overnight, and it looks like it'll be quite heavy in the morning. Should clear a little bit in the afternoon, but the damage may already be done. Mm. However, there is an 80% chance of Gary wearing a salopette this weekend.
Oh! 80%!
We'll be wearing salopettes.
Right, Dave. How many postponements do we think tomorrow?
Seven?
Just seven?
Yeah, I'm optimistic.
You are very optimistic. Right, we'll write that down now. Dave Norton, 7 postponements.
You put me on the spot there. I haven't really thought about it.
Gary, I must admit, the combi fixtures aren't on this. So, Gary's given some serious
stuff. I'd go for 8.
8? Yeah. I'm going to go for 12. Because there'll be some combi off as well. So. You heard it here first, if there's 12 postponements. Right, Gary, thanks for coming in. Thanks for spending a strange Friday afternoon with us. Thanks for answering the emergency call.
Pleasure. Thanks for splashing out all the 59p on the biscuits. I enjoyed it.
Technically, it was free because I didn't nick it, but I got them on my co-op card.
Oh, right.
So it was like you build up pounds on it. Yeah. So yeah. It was like I nicked it. I did have to go to the till, though. So.
Well done, mate.
Well done.
Sure, Tony Shield will be proud of you for promoting the co-op.
Well, we're still looking for a sponsor, Tony. Right, remember you can listen to all the Manx Footy pods at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football, as well as on the iTunes. I can never say that bit.
It is a bit of a mouthful, to be fair, mate.
iTunes.
Yeah. Next up, have a whiskey before you try and say it.
As well as on that there, iTunes. There you go. Well, right. Audio Boom, iTunes, there we are. Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.